Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Locklear.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
We're still bringing you that Clippers news Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Absolutely.
We hope that you're staying safe out there. We hope that you're maybe even having a little fun.
Some people are. I will say, the quarantine is good for some people.
It's interesting. It's interesting for your brain.
You can find ways to thrive.
You can. that being said, we're going to look at some post-Lob City stat lines. If you missed Wednesday's episode, we did a breakdown of some of our favorite Lob City seasons. We talked a little bit about the playoffs.
Yeah. Monday, we looked at the pre-Lob City best statistical season,
which is was an interesting read.
A lot more years, not as many stat lines to be psyched about.
No, there's a little bit of a recency thing of greatness.
Yeah, for sure.
So we're going to be breaking down those for you, and then we got some quarantine talk a little bit about how to enjoy a game with no fans.
There's been
some kind of scenarios floating around for what it could look like if play was to return. One very interesting
Keith Smith
one.
Nailed this is peak quarantine content from Keith Smith, and I mean that in the nicest way possible.
Oh, it's great.
It's a great idea. It's well it's thought great. Out.
And then we got a Love Mary quarantine coming for sure. up for you, so all that and more right about now.
Yeah, so we're taking we're checking out the best stat lines from 17-18 and the 18-19 season.
Yeah.
The current season we're going to be taking a look at next week.
Yes.
We're going to be looking at kind of some the best series of the year.
Yeah, we think we'll do best series. We talk about this season quite
a
bit. The
Celtics games are so crazy to take a look back at.
Yeah.
But right now we're just kind of looking at what life was like post-Lob City for those 2 years when there was kind of some uncertainty as to what the identity of the team would be.
Definitely.
And how we would...
100%.
How do you come off the best stretch in the history of the franchise?
Yeah. when you've moved on from a crucial piece of it.
Yeah.
It's really unclear what the next step is.
17-18 is one of my I will talk about this season of basketball until I die.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite sports seasons ever.
One of my favorites. One of the seasons I got to go to the most games as a fan. It was
absolutely
really affordable.
Oh, good times. Yeah. So we get the last of Blake and DJ. We see what a lot of people assumed was going to be part of a long-term piece in Tobias. We see the strongest man in the league, Gallinari.
The re-emergence.
True, for sure. And then, well, not this season.
Not 17-18.
Of course, Boban comes. So, Bobby and Toby is something I think we should talk about off top. Because this also coincides with the Clippers media team in terms of web content.
Really just hitting a whole new stride.
Yes. Like, Charlie Widows, if you're listening, not sure if you are, we hope you're having a great quarantine. And all the Clippers media team. But, like, dude, so the Toby and Bobby thing, there's, like, that thing with SoulCycle and, like, the web series.
Well, I mean, I feel like it started so organically. These people just had this chemistry. Like,
friends. Yeah.
There was, like, the dance videos and stuff. And then, like,
shout out Farbod.
Yeah. And then they were able to, like, kind of escalate that and build on that. And that was, like, it just felt, we weren't sure, like, who were the guys now. I mean, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously,
there was identity holes to be filled.
Yeah, like Blake and DJ are still there, and that's great, but it's not like...
It's different.
It's different, right?
It's different.
It's different, and I think like having that sort of beacon of... I'm not going to say hope because it's not that drastic, but like just a likability.
Something to latch on to.
Just a likability. Friends who hadn't texted me about the Clippers in 5 years would text me about what's the deal with this.
Yeah, who Boban... And it's like... Yeah, and just watching, like, going back and watching those is fantastic. And, like, also just the Clippers media team now is the best in
incredible.
The league.
Incredible.
Best in, I would say, any North American sport. But, yeah, like, this was the team. Yeah, they needed the things to latch on to. Like, this season is so much harder without a lot of things. But this is a big part of it, I think.
Yeah. And then just aside from a player's perspective, this – I don't know how you felt about Doc, like, kind of post-Lob City stuff. This, for me, like, vaulted Doc, like, into a different thing.
This made people who had any problem with Doc, you had this team winning 42 games. I have an argument in here that he actually has the best stat line out of these whole two seasons.
Yes.
This team that won 42 games was the 8th-rated offense in the league. Like,
And yeah, and the most, you know, the most starting lineup changes.
Started that tradition, which was fun.
Starting that new tradition. But like just the reinvigoration that you saw from him. Yeah. Like the vigor for it.
Throwing stuff at the wall.
Yeah. And it's great to see. I mean, he talked about, I mean, this season and 18-19 as being like days that he loved coming into work.
For sure.
Which I haven't asked him if that's still the same feeling now.
Definitely is. So let's look at, we got Blake for 33 games.
Yeah.
And this is the most complete his game had looked up to this point.
Oh, yeah.
23-8-5, 34% from three on six
attempts a game, which is as many as JJ was taking when he left.
That's going to go on your tombstone, I feel like.
JJ Redick should have put up more shots.
He would go to Detroit and, you know, injuries aside, would post his best statistic. Like, this, I mean, the Detroit trade is Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban, first round draft pick in 2018, second round in 2019. That trade would become very crucial, obviously.
What was your initial reaction to this trade?
Confused happiness mixed with some being bummed out.
I was so
seemingly psyched for Blake because I didn't understand how bad Detroit was going to be.
Yeah. I mean, I thought they would be I mean, they're kind of a playoff team.
Yeah.
As in they made the playoffs. But like,
I was kind of understanding, but also like, you know, nostalgia got me.
Yeah. I mean,
I was punching the air.
I thought it was wild. Like, I was incredibly surprised.
Yeah.
I might have hit it with a F yeah on the bus when I read the thing, because I just thought the return was so great.
Yeah.
Just keeping in mind, like, you know, a couple players and then the draft picks.
Yeah. The return was huge, and everyone was like, you know, the season before this, recently he had been hurt. Not the season before, sorry. But yeah. Like he had, you know, and like I think Clippers fans kind of saw the writing on the wall.
He had been injured. Like we said, you know, we weren't sure what the identity of this team was, and I think that this was, you know, that was one of the switches that had to be flipped.
For sure. And then DJ, man, did it seem like he was not having a fun time.
Oh, yikes, man. This is some of my least favorite DJ play.
12-15 in the most pouty way possible. Like, the most just like, all right, you don't want to be here, that's fine, but you're still producing in the box score.
I do thank DJ, though, for, you know, we get a little bit better of a look at Trez. And he...
Very good call!
He also makes a coworker look very good, which you appreciate that in another coworker.
That's very true. Lou Williams, people still kept trying to play the kid, which, look, I don't know. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you believe in.
Don't play the kid.
There's one rule in life, and it's you never play the kid. 22 a game off the bench. No sweat. Sixth man of the year. The Trez chemistry was also starting to bubble. Trez in this season, only 11-4.
Yeah.
But it was a very aggressive 11-4, and it was a thing where people were like, wait a minute.
And it was exciting to watch. I mean, like,
he was just electric.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so different than, like, where DJ was at with this team at that point.
For sure. And then Gallo, we only got 21 games of Gallo. He pulled an ass muscle.
Yeah. His butt fell off.
15-4, pretty bummed. You know, Bev, only 11 games this year. Both he and Bev kind of talk about this because they broke out next year. The new guy, Tobias, he looked great.
I had no idea. I had no idea he was going to be as good as he was.
No, I knew like pretty good. But like, I mean, 19-6-3, 41% on 5 threes a game. He felt like a piece. Like, this was like a Clippers piece.
Yeah, definitely.
Where it was like, awesome, we're going to help him out. Like... Some honorable shout-outs.
Great headband game, you know?
Great headband game. Honorable shout-outs. Austin Rivers, 15-4 dimes off the bench, 38% 6 threes a game. Love to see that.
Yeah,
he grew a bunch.
Good for him.
During this time. Ty Wallace, one of the best, 28 minutes a game, 10-3-2, showed why he deserved to be in the league. Like, the Ty Wall minutes from this time were great.
Sindarius minutes, very exciting.
Milos. Definitely didn't want to be here at this point as well, which was funny. But like I said, I think Doc owns the best stat line from this season.
Yeah.
Like, this team had no business. Ty Wallace, 28 minutes a game. Team went 42-4.
Yeah.
Like, most starting lineups in the league. Doc coached his ass off this season.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then we have the 18-19 season.
Which
I labeled...
The most fun the Clippers ever had?
Dude, this season is insane. 48 wins. We assume that Shea is a cornerstone.
Yeah.
Of this.
I mean, like, as soon as Bradley gets injured, it's like, as soon as he moves into the starting thing, it's like, oh, okay.
Lou Will did his thing.
Yeah.
Trez broke out.
Definitely. Oh, absolutely. Had to.
Pat Bev asserts himself. There's giant trades, of course. The largest playoff comeback win. Like, this is...
Yeah.
Look, if you don't like this year, if you're a Clippers fan, I don't know, you have a farty heart, as I put it in the notes for this show.
Also, get at us. If there's a reason that you dislike
you
this
season...
You know
what?
I would legitimately love to know the reason.
A pleasant discord.
We mostly promise not to roast you.
We won't
roast you.
We'll have you on the show.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, if you have like a legitimate reason or like there's something that rubs you the wrong way about the season, I'd love to know.
Absolutely. And it has to be legitimate.
Has to be legitimate.
It can't be some, no, you know, none of the weird stuff out there.
I mean, although if you went through like a terrible breakup or something during the whole NBA season, you know, well, let's talk about it.
Don't even talk to a professional about that. So like we saw, I mean, before the season started, the Clippers got the draft 50%, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
75.
50. Okay. They drafted Shea, who was literally labeled a cornerstone of the franchise by Lee Jenkins.
Yes.
And man, did we all believe it. For good reason.
Yeah.
Average stat wise, though, we'll talk about Baby Shea first. Stat wise, though, you know, 11-3-3.
Yeah.
We saw him grow. He was the smoothest rookie I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, the way he moves is. It's incredible.
Took an AB injury to get him to the starting lineup.
Yes.
Literally, that is the only reason.
Yeah. But, I mean, we were asking the question.
Everyone was begging it. He had a short leash from Doc, too.
Definitely.
Doc was like...
I think you need that, though.
Yeah. I mean, it worked. Doc was right in who it worked with, and it worked with Shea.
My thing is...
Shea got better.
I do think you see sometimes rookies in a system where... I'm not saying that they're not trying to win, but it's like you let them work through things, and like... We were not going to win 42 games letting Shea work through a lot of things. And I love Shea.
Sure.
That's not,
well,
like,
we
that's
won
not
48,
a knock on
yeah.
him. What's that?
And we won 48.
Yeah, we did win 48.
But he needed confidence shooting outside. He gained it.
Yeah.
He has the, you know, I talked about that. Like, Bev and Lou were, I think, two of the best vets, Shea, that any rookie can have.
Oh,
100%. Any rookie guard coming into the league. 100%. Like, and we thought this was the beginning of truly a Clipper for life.
Oh, man.
Like, we thought it was.
Yeah.
It's so crazy to think about. And then we had Gallo. Or, sorry, we had Tobias for 55 games.
Yep.
Earned himself a payday.
I mean, he was multiple-time Western Conference Player of the Week.
Yeah.
He was great.
21-8-3, 43% on 5 threes a game.
Yes.
Which
all
kind
in
of,
the
which
first
kind
quarter,
of,
weirdly enough.
I was just going to say, all of which took place in the first half. My eyes kind of popped out when I was reading those, going over those stats again.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, 43, fuck. Clippers offered a 4-year, $80 million extension, which he obviously knew he was going to turn down.
Yeah.
Man, good for him. Good for us. Good for him. There was, of course, the Tobias trade.
Yeah.
I was more shocked with the Tobias trade.
Well.
Than the Blake trade, because it was like, oh, okay.
We're really going after next year's draft.
This
it's,
is it.
It felt like, right? Like
it felt like something.
It felt like, I mean, well, we're willing to take a little bit of a seat back, I guess, for another building season.
Yeah.
And we'll look for another high draft pick. Not the case.
We got Shamet, Muscala, which became Zubats, mm-hmm. plus, and Mike Scott, plus a Philly first and a Miami first. It would all go towards Paul George and Kawhi.
Yes.
The Blake trade is the most... craziest domino,
like the 6 degrees of separation on that trade is insane.
That trade, we came out ahead in every way possible. Lou Will was still the man.
Yeah,
this season. What I mean,
even more so, had a start.
Even more so, the Lou and Trez pick and roll ruined everyone's defense, and Trez put down the most ferocious 17-6 of all time.
Yeah,
and it still felt like his buzz was small. You know,
yeah.
It still felt so weird. Gallo proved everyone wrong. Full season for the most part.
That was such a revelation.
Constantly clutch.
He had that stretch there around like November of the season. Great
relationship. Good
relationship. With the basket.
Great relationship with the basket. 20-6, 43% in 5.5 threes games. that season, it's just like everyone's stat line is great. Honorable mention, you know, got to go to Jermichael. It's like,
yeah,
there's so many things. What's your, just real quick, before we get to that next segment, what's your best stat line, do you think? What's the most impactful to you for these, this transition period in which the Clippers carved out an identity thanks to fan support, the media team being great, the front office being fantastic, and the players completely buying in?
I mean, honestly, I would have to go like between either Lou Will or Trez, and Doc is definitely up there, but like,
oh,
you still need,
I like that.
You still need this core identity of the bench. I mean, that's where like this entire,
yeah,
thing
Trez
is,
became the core it, with Bev
it's,
and
yeah, Lou. it's like the foundation that you're able to build around. So I think that like just that Trez breakout in 18-19, and then Lou Will just being able to stay that consistent is for me like, you can't build a contender without those pieces.
I think I'm giving it to Doc.
That's fair too. I mean, he's definitely up there for me.
I mean, we all saw what he did. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking how to enjoy a game with no fans, maybe, right after this.
All right. So how to enjoy a game with no fans?
So I'm sitting in my house doing nothing.
Wondering.
So Gavin Newsom basically got, you know, put the kibosh.
No games.
On anyone going to games anytime soon. How weird are games? How weird is it going to be watching consistent games? A one-off game with no fans? Whatever. This is going to maybe be a consistent thing.
So I think it will be a consistent thing.
What's the vibe? Because so I have, I think this can go two ways. Mm-hmm. I think this can make people actually better live fans. And I don't mean that people are bad right now, but like, you watch a game with no fans, you have, there's such a large amount of energy that you can't feed off of.
Yeah.
The sound. There's no, think about Mike Breen saying bang with also no crowd noise.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, this is going to make, like, the first thing I thought of was like, I usually don't like get geared up when I watch a game by myself. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I'll throw the Clippers t-shirt on if like I get off work or something like that. But now, if there's no fans in the stands, I need an environment like, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to, I think people are going to like, those first couple games back, I guess, we're going to see what.
At Staples?
Yeah. Like, we're going to see what. I don't know if better fans is the right word, but like, it's going to change fandom so much.
It's, yeah. It, I mean, a lot of stuff is going to change, but yeah.
Oh, I'm only worried about sports.
But yeah, coming back, that'll be so intense and like such a relief. I like the idea. I like, there's something to me that's pure.
Is there a weird romanticism to a professional basketball game with no fans?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. For me, there's like, there's something, there's like some sort of untangible.
It feels like
thing.
A park.
Yeah.
To me, in my head, I'm like, it feels like a run.
Yeah. No, exactly. That's the thing. It's like a more, I don't know, pure is the wrong word, but it's like, it's just a different kind of way of playing the game. Oh, man. I also just hope they mic it up so you can hear more of the players on court, which is like...
Well, you know what the XFL did that every professional league should take? They mic'd the refs up.
Oh, that's good.
So you could... Like,
that's good. But yeah, I think that there's something,
there's
going to
be some broadcast innovation. Like, there's got to be...
Yeah.
They have to be... Because like you said, we were talking before this, like... If they're playing games, those are going to be broadcasted because that's ad revenue.
They have to be broadcast.
And if you happen to be the one sport on TV... You're making a lot of ad revenue.
Yeah. Making some decent ad revenue. I don't know. I think
nice
that
chunk
it,
of change.
I think that it brings something different to the game. You know, some players said they wouldn't play in that environment. I doubt that.
I'm like, dude, first of all, yes. How would you not?
How would you not?
Like, I get maybe
then
you
fine,
really
no
love
man.
The.
Kawhi, I'll put 50 on you.
Yeah, like, dude, fine. Like, do you think anyone. It's funny because no one on the Clippers, I could never say no one would be like, I don't want to play if there's no fans there. No.
I mean, like, we're constantly getting barraged about our fans.
Exactly.
Playing, you know, the seven people who like the Clippers.
Oh, yeah, like, we're fine.
We're good.
Well, someone was like, someone commented on our Twitter, they were like, dude, is no fans like the perfect scenario for Kawhi? Like, is he... Is
just
it,
unleashed?
It, dude, he might be, like... It might be detrimental to Trez, too, maybe. Trez feeds off of energy.
Yeah,
he brings
but he's
it.
Bringing energy.
I know, but, dude, okay.
No, man,
stand
he wants
in
to,
your,
no,
stand
dude, he
in
wants
your
to play
house.
Basketball.
I understand he wants to play basketball. But I'm just saying, I'm not saying he's going to be like, but there's going to have to be a shift in how he, I think approaches some of his preparation, maybe.
I don't know, man. I think
stand in your house with no one there and get as hyped as you've ever been.
Easy.
Dude. And then in the moment it's great, and then just wait the 3/4 of a second afterwards where there's no sound.
I know, but like Trez, if this was somehow lifted, or if there was a basketball only lift to the quarantine,
of course
he would be at the court. The guy, like, you can't keep him away. I don't think they would change anything for
him. I'm just saying it might be, though, because there's still minimum thousands of people cheering after you do a dunk, after you do a big. Who's he giving finger guns to? You know, like
the opponent.
Come on, I'm just saying it could be a big. It's gonna be weird with no
fans. I also
think
the way that they'll be able to film it will be. I think they're gonna figure something out much better than the spider cam.
Yeah, there's just gonna be all drones. There's gonna be thousands of drones. Well, that brings us to our next point. Keith Smith.
Yes,
fantastic journalist.
Absolutely. Read everything, Smith.
Read
Keith
everything.
Smith.
Had an idea that is, like I said off top, I would say one of the most perfect. I've seen a lot of quarantine ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a few myself. They're not good.
Hey, I'm not putting those on. I'm not putting on them on this.
Hot dog knife? What is that? I just wrote it down. It's a knife that cut hot dogs easier? I don't know. He had an idea that games should be resumed at Disney World, not Disneyland.
Yeah, in Florida, because there's more. There's more hotels,
a lot
and stuff
of good
on,
reasons.
Like on the property.
There's an abundance of housing.
Yes.
There's tons of basketball facilities,
yes.
Like countless.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's all private property.
Yeah.
So the bubble thing can be like done.
Yeah.
Broadcasting isn't hard.
No, I mean they already have
ESPN and Disney share a plate or whatever. Term businessmen use to talk about
yes,
stuff.
That is what they say.
Correct. As he lights a cigar.
Apt.
I love this idea.
Yeah. So I guess I hadn't thought about it because
also sports are legal there now because the person who runs Florida is like, I didn't know you could get it at all. And then it's like, yeah, wrestling's cool. And they got a lot of problems over there.
I didn't think about it because they had discussed like maybe the neutral territory and like keeping everybody in.
Yeah, like
sort of
Nevada,
bubble.
Like Windhorse talked about Vegas, which is also a good idea, I think.
Yeah, yeah, because nobody's there.
But I still think there's more facilities. Like the Disney thing, it's like that's its own city. Like Anaheim is literally, a lot of it is Disneyland.
Yeah. So I think that it makes, I mean, it's so cool.
Obviously not Disney World, but you know what I'm saying. It's the same city infrastructure.
It ties into my thing, though. Like, I like the idea of not fans being there. This gives it, like, a whole Olympic Village kind of a vibe, which
Whoa.
I think is really interesting. Well, maybe. Yeah,
maybe not the whole Olympic Village
maybe
vibe.
Maybe
huh?
The same connotation.
You know what I'm talking about.
Not the same connotation.
You feel me?
But, yeah, like, people just, I don't know, man. I'm imagining a bunch of hijinks in the
dorms. I'm imagining a bunch of golf cart type stuff.
Yeah.
And like them kind of walking around a weird empty Disneyland.
Yes.
I want to see Bev in an empty Disneyland.
I want to see the content.
But I like this idea. Shout out to Keith Smith.
Yeah.
Hope I get to meet Keith Smith one day.
Hey, float it out there.
Keith, if you're listening, you're probably not. You cover the Celtics. Don't know why you'd listen to this podcast. Hope you're having a good one, buddy. Coming up after this, we got a Love, Mary, Quarantine and a brief update on what Patrick Beverly is doing.
All right. So what's Patrick Beverly doing?
Patrick Beverly played Monopoly last night when
we're
recording this. And he was killing everyone he was playing with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw you. You had a lot of property lined up.
Look,
there.
So Will's not on Instagram. A couple of my other buddies aren't either. I sent them like a 45-second video of Bev playing Monopoly. That was a third of the Monopoly content.
Oh,
that
I saw.
Posted.
Yeah, yeah.
He also posted a meme on his story, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
It's the classic meme of, like, you know, the guy texting the girl right now. And then he posted the same meme again with the caption, best one, which I love. That was a nice little just thing for me that I enjoyed. All right, so we're recording.
He's 32, man. He doesn't get this.
He's not. I'm 32. What? Like, the internet's been around for a fair amount of time. He's been alive. So we're recording this on Reggie Jackson's birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Reg.
Hey.
Top shelf Jackson, as far as I'm concerned.
That's what I say.
We're doing Clippers birthday parties for Love, Mary, Quarantine.
Yes.
We have. Let's switch off on these. I'm going to go first. We got Landry Shamet. It's just an afternoon of staring contests and very complicated math proofs.
Okay.
So right. I'm not sure what Sham majored in Wichita State. I looked it up, couldn't find it.
Business ethics.
It was, if it was, he never cheated. but I wouldn't have been surprised if it was stern math studies.
So
Shamit's an intense human.
Yeah.
I would argue that Shamit maybe is on par with Kawhi in terms of the
meme. Imagine what it's like when it's just those two in the locker room?
Focused. If those two looked at the same magnifying glass, they're burning ants. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Their focus is like, what? Like, all right, what's this next one?
I also like this the idea of solving proofs. I would say yearly I get the idea that I want to start like a drinking proof.
You're
club.
Not even a math guy, dude.
I mean, I took calculus. What do you want from me?
What year did you take calculus?
I don't know, in like 08.
You took it in the single digits of the odds.
Yeah. Because I learned too much.
Dog, it's 20. Dude,
I saw the fabric.
2020
is
around
the corner. I saw the fabric
of
math and I couldn't turn
all right,
back.
Come on.
All right, so you got Bev. It's a beach birthday party, Bev style. 45-pound weight. You got a line at the beach. If you want a plate for the grill, you have to use one of them as it. The 45-pound weights.
Yeah.
And you got to watch film. It's very focused.
Yeah.
Sort of
you're
celebration.
Sitting, you're using like the we've all been to a barbecue where you have to use your legs as the table. You know, you put your plate on top of your legs. You're kind of doing the like you put your knees together type thing.
That's a potluck. That's not a barbecue.
Okay. Whatever your community did. Whatever the Cole Strip community.
No, barbecue there's tables.
Sometimes there's not.
No, it's too saucy.
Anyway, the point is
for you to eat over
so you got to have the 45-pound plate on you. Like
okay.
You're using
the weight plate right now.
This, I mean, I'm into this idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's very on brand for him.
I think you could also eat way more. You're working out while you're eating.
You are working out while you're eating.
Which is how I always work out.
You're never trying to exert a lot of energy, though, while you're full.
That's why you're going slow. It's 45-pound weight. You're not running the 45-pound weight up to the line. I have this next one. Doc Rivers.
Okay.
It's a roast battle. But everyone pretty much gets the vibe that Doc doesn't really want to be roasted.
For what?
You know what I mean? Well, so it culminates in the... So, like, there's the finals, of course. Doc runs his way through.
Yeah.
Like, a fringe guest is the finalist. Like, someone who's, like someone's plus one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's, like... who does Doc loosely know?
The Farley brothers?
Sure. Yeah. Who did the Safdie brothers? Because his audio is in Uncut Gems.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, he's like one of the Safdie brothers plus one.
Okay.
So this fringe guest is in the finals with Doc and then makes a joke about Doc's personal life, which makes Doc...
What joke?
I'm not going to say the joke. Which makes Doc really sad and do kind of a classic, like... Party's over! Like, blow up, and it just ends.
Does he wear a crown during this?
Crown's on the whole time.
Oh, I love it.
Crown's been on for a week.
I love it.
All right, what's this last one? This last one I'm not sure where I'm at with. But
PG's PPV. That's a pay-per-view. Paul George, his birthday is notably one day before mine.
Tell you what, I'm happy you didn't say PG's POV.
What, it's him playing video games on Twitch? He's a big WWE fan, and so he wants to watch a pay-per-view. Unfortunately, no mass events can be held until at least the 15th, missing his birthday.
I love how you give – are you talking about May 15th?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, well, maybe, yeah.
That's
yeah.
not going to – yeah. As my landlord said, it's all going to be cleared up by the end of the month.
Well, wrestling's going to be happening in Florida by May 15th.
For sure. Of course. It's essential.
But anyways, he can't have one, so he just watches an old pay-per-view, and he makes the rest of the team kind of zoom with him. But he's at an empty cage, and he's, like, doing moves, and everybody
– He's watching, like, a Hell in a Cell, and
he
like, has, like, a
and
dummy.
Everybody has to be really supportive because, you know, he
it's
can't –
It's his birthday.
Like, yeah, it's his birthday. He has to do it alone because of quarantine. So everyone's like, yeah, Paul, that's sick. Way to stun. Way to stun him.
You can like hear everyone like having dinner upstairs, but he's just like by himself. Like, I will say this. I didn't watch wrestling very much.
Yeah.
I only really
watched
it.
You were a big wrestling guy.
During the Attitude Era.
Okay.
After that I was, then completely fell off. I've been watching cage matches for days now.
Yeah, so you know why the very endearing and hilarious to see Paul reenacting one of his own.
I'm loving PG's PPV. I'm loving watching.
I'm marrying.
I'm loving watching Paul George be like, all right, so I got this realistic dummy. I'm going to, like, I got all these tacks through the Hell in a Cell. Like,
take this, Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah, he's the heel. He's got a socko.
It'd be really funny if he was the heel.
Dude, if Paul George's favorite wrestler.
Do you think he's a Mankind fan?
I was going to say, that'd be tight. He's probably a Dude Love fan.
Yeah.
Dude Love, you know, not my cup of tea, but I'm marrying Bev's beach birthday party.
Okay.
I love the 45-pound weight thing. I love, like, stupid workouts where you're, like, tricking yourself into working out, or it's like.
Yes.
I would love shoveling.
It's like you drink a 40 and you run for an hour.
Yeah, like, which. It's actually not a bad workout. Like, I live near Baxter, which is literally one of the steepest hills in the U.S.
Yeah.
If I drank a 40 and then ran up that.
No, you should bike up it way harder.
Run backwards up it. All right, anyway.
And
then I got to quarantine the Doc Rivers thing because, like, this made me laugh too hard thinking about it. And it bummed me out.
I'm loving the Doc Rivers.
We can't give the actual. We're not that kind of podcast.
Yeah, we're not.
But
roasting.
If you know, you know.
We're not roasting anybody.
We're not at his birthday party. We're not the fringe guest.
We're not roasting.
The fringe guest is me. If I end up there, the fringe guest. All right.
So and you're just bombing.
I'm bombing.
Bombing your ass off.
Bombed before, but this would be a hard. This would be a horrible bomb.
Landry Shamet's staring at you the whole time,
dude.
That's an intimidating set.
Imagine going up to do 10 minutes and Landry Shamet is staring at
you. Open mic, he's...
Oh, he's in a mic? He's got nothing to do?
I really like comedy.
He's already played...
I enjoy comedy.
He's already played enough Russian roulette that he has to go to an open mic. All right, so you're loving that one.
Yeah.
And you're marrying Paul George.
I'm marrying Paul. I'm always marrying Paul George.
Yeah, and then which one are you quarantining?
I'm quarantining the Pat, the carrying the weight around.
Get out of here.
It's not the best function I've ever been to.
I know. It should be. I know the functions you've been to. Oh, man. Let us know which of these you would enjoy.
Yeah.
Let us know if you know what we're talking about when we talk about Doc Rivers. Also,
yeah, what would your roast for Doc be? Go ahead and post.
I'm not. I'm going to moderate those. schedule those, please. if you enjoy all NBA content, check out Locked On NBA.
Yeah.
They run the network. David Locke is a fantastic host. He's putting in a bunch of work in this quarantine right now.
Yeah.
Can't imagine what quarantine like is in Utah. Ugh, we at least got buildings out here. But yeah, check out Locked On NBA, covering the whole league, all the news you need, all the board game news, what people are playing. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. We hope your quarantine is going swimmingly.
Yeah.
We're going to be back on Monday. You can find Locked On Clippers at Deezer.
Yeah.
iTunes, Spotify.
Deezer's your first?
I love Deezer. So the reason I love Deezer so much is we would joke about it because our friend, who's in a fantastic band called Pencil Pusher, shout out John,
Brzezicki,
he was like, oh yeah, our band got put on the French music streamer's Deezer. And we're like, that's tight as hell. Good for you. And then we used to do the podcast at work before we got ratted on and before the person who ratted on us got laid off. Ugh, karma. You got laid off too, so that sucks.
Unrelated.
We would always shout out Deezer as a joke, and then randomly someone on Twitter was like, oh.
Deezer's not a joke.
You guys are on Deezer.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, sick.
Shout out Deezer.
Shout out
go.
Deezer. Love Deezer. Monday's episode, we're going to be talking the kind of best series of 1920. We're going to be talking definitely Celtics, definitely Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, got it.
Maybe a fun third one. Maybe Clippers versus themselves. Actually, you know what? The third one's going to be dedicated to – it's got to be dedicated to that Memphis Knicks doubleheader.
Oh, okay, yeah. So we'll do those series. Right. Yeah, we'll break down those three series. And then we'll do another kind of breakdown of a playoffs matchup, but based on the series that we played already.
Absolutely. We're also going to be doing the freshies, maybe. And then whatever else happens through now and then in Clipperland – thank you all again so much for listening. We hope you're doing well. Get at us, shavings.podcast@gmail.com.
Call us.
213-986-7354.
The only phone number you have memorized.
Legitimately the only one. And my old home phone from Hamilton, Montana, which I think got destroyed in a fire.
Phone number? I don't know if that's how that works.
There's evaporated. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.